I mean, you went through things in your childhood that are just next level trauma.
I was just a little girl of 10 during that experience. That was my father's death. I witnessed how he was killed by his very good friends.
Wow.
I knew that my father had gun. He has 3 guns. And so I hold the gun and I run into the front door and I was about to shoot 2 of them who just killed my father. And so that was revenge and anger, hatred, without understanding that because I was very young, but I had that feeling.
What stopped you from shooting them? Welcome to the Chris Stefanik Show. Really excited to share a heavy and life-changing conversation with you today. I want to thank our missionaries of joy. It's because of you that all this work is possible. If you're not one, get off the sidelines. Help us out. Click on the link below this video. Sign up for the Daily Anchor, too, if you're not on that. We're inspiring over 100,000 people every day with our daily email. I want you to be one of those people. Just for free, just because we love you, I mean, we got your back. And this episode is sponsored in part by EWTN. You can catch this and so much more on EWTN Plus streaming. Let's dive in. Sister Marilyn.
Nice to meet you, Chris.
Yeah, no, it's a grace to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love your community, your charism. I've never heard this described this way before. You consider yourself sisters and mothers, which I think all religious sisters are, but you just own that and lean into it. What does that mean?
So as a sister of Mary, our charism is being a mother to those vulnerable, poor, and really a very needy children. And so all of us, the Sisters of Mary, we take care of them. So we invite them to be in our schools in different countries, and there we are mothers to them. Mm. So this is a very special vocation that we have for these children. Especially they have many difficulties in a family-like situation and atmosphere. And so being a mother to them really is a great blessing for me as a Sister of Mary, and I'm sure for all the Sisters of Mary.
Mm. So you don't feel like, I mean, when you go into religious life, you're aware you're giving up a lot of things. You're not going to get to have a husband. You're not going to get to have biological kids yourself. And that's a real, like, it's a real sacrifice for God. You're giving up your family back home in the Philippines. Mm-hmm. You're giving up Filipino food, right? Do you feel like a mother? Is that really, it's got to be really fulfilling. Like, mm-hmm. do you see those kids literally as your kids?
Yes. Each one of them, I see them as my daughter or as my own son.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you're expressing your motherhood in an incredible way.
Yeah.
Some people experience trauma in life, and thanks for being willing to go here today, because I know we're going to ask some deep questions about things you've been through. Some people experience trauma, and they feel forever broken. They feel like they're not able to be used by God, like they're a broken tool. But the way that the lives of the saints pans out and every hero I've looked up to, there's always some trauma or hard experience that God uses that precisely to chisel them into a blessing. And that was your story.
Yes.
You went through things in your childhood that are just next level trauma. And would you be willing to share with us what happened, what you went through?
Yeah. For me, it was a very, very strong and really a very hard experience because I was just a little girl of 10 during that experience. And now, in my state of life, I can see that I am very blessed to have that experience when I was 10. Like, for more than 20 years, I was not taking of that experience as a blessing. I was always thinking that experience that I had is really, why me? Why me? Why did you choose me to experience that very deep and very strong experience in life? Wherein, why can I not be just a simple little girl of 10 who loves to play joyfully, who wants to be with people, and who wants to be just free anywhere, because that was me on my before that experience. That was me. I was a very joyful girl, a very joyful daughter, a very loving, I can say I'm very loving and obedient daughter of my parents. And so that experience struck me very strongly, because that was my father's death, my real father's death. So I was 10 and I witnessed how he was killed by his very good friends. So they were very, very close to our family. Actually, he is the godfather of my younger brother. So he is really very dear to our family. And
the murderer was the godfather of your,
yes.
Like, this is a really close friend.
Yes. Yeah. So they were very close to my father. And so just one Saturday afternoon, they come into our house in the backyard, and then they entered, and my father greeted them as always.
Yeah.
And the response of the greeting is a gunshot. So they shot my father. And my mother was there, I was there, my younger brother was there, and we can see everything, but we were just stuck, and we do not know what's going on, because he just entered and he shot my father, and we saw my father lying down with blood, because he was wearing a white shirt and a pants, and so we saw that there's blood during that time. And really, in that very moment, we can see how many gunshots my father received. And I saw how my mother ran to my father, and she was really like trying to cover my father and trying to protect my father from these two men. But they were there, and we don't have any neighborhood during that time. We were living in like hacienda, because my father was the in charge of that area of the hacienda and all the place there.
What's hacienda?
And like hacienda is a place where there's a big area where there are like farms, and there are cows, horses,
okay.
And everything. And so he was the in charge during that time. And so we were living in the hacienda. And so we don't have neighborhoods, because it's a very big area. And so we're seeing my father lying down with blood, without understanding. I was not understanding what was happening during that time. And I saw my mother run to embrace my father, and another shot was given to him. And I saw, like, really, I saw that the first one was here on his arm, because he was like this. What's happening? Like, what's happening? And so he was shoot here. And after that shoot, he tried to run. I think he was trying to run into the house, or I'm very sure he was trying to. And then he was shoot in the, on the, like, below his knee. And so that's the time that he fell down on the ground. And then from there, he had another shoot at the side. And I was not very sure in what part really is that. And the last one was when my mother was already trying to protect him. She was embracing him, actually, and then he had a shot here. And so, like, a young girl of 10, and my younger brother was, like, he was about 6 during that time, and he was also there. He was seeing everything and what's going on, but, like, we were shocked. We do not know what was going on.
Hey there, I just wanted to share something really important with you guys real quick. You know what's crazy? This entire show, every episode, every conversation, every life changed, only happens because of our supporters. The Chris Stefanik Show is powered by people like you, people who believe in spreading the joy of the gospel. Now here's the deal. Each year we reach millions of people, but there are millions more that have not received not just the good, but the great news of the gospel. We want to reach those people, walk with them, and that's where you come in. When you become a monthly donor, a missionary of joy, you're not just donating, you're actually making this mission possible. You're helping us bring the hope, truth, and joy of the gospel to a world that desperately needs it. And that's not all. As a missionary of joy, you get exclusive access to all our video series, including Living Joy, Rise, Renewed, Fearless, and more. You get exclusive early access to new releases. You get Monday motivation texts direct from me. And you get access to our daily anchor, daily inspiration to fuel your faith. The truth is, the gospel is too good to keep to ourselves. If this show or our work has encouraged you, challenged you, or strengthened your faith, imagine how many more lives we can change together. Don't just watch the mission, fuel it. Click the link below and become a monthly donor today. It'll be the best investment you make this year.
And so I knew that my father had gun. He has 3 guns. And during that time, he has...
Why did they shoot him, by the way?
It was for jealousy. So this godfather of my younger brother, he was working in that hacienda for a very long time. Very long time than my father. And my father was just new in that area, but he received the responsibility of being like the in charge. So like after the owner of the hacienda,
he is... So for jealousy they shot him.
Yes.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
So you...
Out of jealousy and...
Evil, it's so evil.
Anger and I don't know.
So you knew you knew your dad had 3 guns.
Yes, I did, yeah. Because he was working like how do you say that in... Like, we call that in the Philippines like a barangay. So it's like your area where you are. There is a policeman in charge in that area. And so he was working on that during that time. And so I know that he had 3 because we can see. Yeah. Most of the time he has always bringing 1 on his side and because of the job that he has. And so I think that's very... We're not understanding that, but I know that it's necessary for his job. And so I know that he had it. And so when I saw that, so the 2 men who killed, I can say it, who killed my father, when I saw them walking outside, they were just walking. They didn't run. They were not worried because they know that it's a big place and no one can hear us.
Wow.
And so they just walked by very naturally. And so when I saw them walking, I entered into the house. I ran, actually, and I opened the drawer of my father. Mm. And there in that drawer, I saw his gun. Mm. And so I hold the gun, and I ran into the front door, and I was about to shoot 2 of them who just killed my father. And so that was revenge. Yeah. And anger, hatred, without understanding that because I was very young, but I had that feeling within me. Mm. And so that anger, that revenge, and that hatred, really, and always wanting to see and look for them and wanted to kill.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to take lives. And whoever they are and wherever they are, that was like for a girl like me, a girl of 10, I was lost during that
totally
time, and
transformed.
So totally lost. And so from then, I was totally, totally lost.
What stopped you from shooting them?
I don't know. It was just, I was holding the gun with my right hand. And I didn't know why. Like, I had an opportunity because no one is there, and they were not looking at me. And so, I don't know, I was trembling. I can remember I was trembling. But I just hold it, and after that, like I throw the gun, and I ran to my father and my mother, and we're there. We were crying, and we were shouting, asking for help, and yeah.
Thank God he stopped you from shooting them. Your life would be different.
Thank God, yeah.
Did they go to jail?
They were killed, actually.
They were.
Like after months, we heard that they were killed by the NPAs. So those are like the, they were not really policemen, but they were those who are like against the government or something, but they were killed, yeah.
You got a lot to process after an experience like that.
Yes.
What was really gnawing at you as a young girl who watched your dad die, who watched the guys walk away, who has a gun in your hand? Like, what was going through your head in the years, months after that?
Yeah. And so from that on, I can see from myself that I was totally changed. I was not that little girl who are always jolly and happy and like very open to people and everything. It was totally changed. So from then on, like, I started to not to trust to anyone.
Yeah, of course.
I started to not to talk and not to believe in anyone. Without, like, even though they are very relatives, they are very close to us, and they're like, I'm not trusting anyone.
When you're dealing with rage and feelings of revenge, I mean, I thank God you didn't shoot them and have that memory, a new trauma on top of it. But were you dealing with feelings of guilt for not shooting them? I mean, there's got to be a tsunami inside your head.
Yeah. When I was not understanding that scenery that was always in my mind, when I was just looking at that scenery as like a lost, like I'm a loser.
So you felt like a failure because you didn't shoot them?
Yes.
Gosh, unbelievable.
Yeah. When I wanted to do like something good, and I know that it's very good, and if I can't do it, like I'm a loser.
Mm. So that was a lie that crept into your spirit?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But I thank God. Now I can thank him.
Yeah, see,
I'm very grateful to him for that experience.
Yeah, I'm crying, not just because I'm sorry, but also because I'm looking at the transformative power of grace. Yeah. I mean, you're just a... Look at you. Right? I mean, you're a beautiful sister in front of me. You're not carrying around the things that I think someone would carry forever because of that.
Yeah.
You've overcome that lie that you're a failure. You've overcome the lack of trust in all humanity. And you live out spiritual motherhood to thousands of kids. And you're not carrying around the resentment of non-forgiveness. In a next level kind of way. I mean, like when people don't carry those things and haven't been through trauma, it's right around here.
Mm-hmm.
When you've pushed through the obstacles to those things, it's up here. And this is why tragedy can become a blessing. How?
Yeah.
I mean, what happened? I mean, what happened from that lost 10-year-old kid to the person sitting here? How did you let go of the lie or even identify it that you felt like a loser? How did you forgive? How did you reopen your soul to people around you?
Yeah.
There's a big question.
Yes.
But yeah, take your time with that.
It's a very, very wonderful story and a very wonderful experience, a very personal experience. And really, I am very grateful to Father Dan Larry. He was our
community.
He was our chaplain for 3 years in Mexico. So he is a priest from Washington, D.C., and he came down in Mexico, and he became our chaplain, and he helps us a lot. And I am very, very sure, and I can say 100% sure that he helps us a lot to overcome traumas and like, I'm sure not only with the sisters. For my personal experience, I received this very, very good blessing from him. And I can see that with the children also, he helped a lot of children.
Beautiful.
In like just moving forward and like a healing process from every kind of trauma that they had experienced.
Yeah.
And so the story begins. Yeah. I was keeping all this... all this anger, hatred, and like always sort of revenge in my heart for 20 years.
20 years.
20 years. So because...
And you'd become a sister during this time while you're still carrying all these things.
Yes. Yes, I did. Because I was like, I was not really very open to sharing my story to anyone and like... Just letting it go because, like, I don't want to go back to that experience.
Mm.
So, like, yeah, trying to be a very joyful religious sister, a very joyful, servant of the Lord. And I was joyful because actually when I met the Sisters of Mary, I was a student of the program in the Philippines.
Okay.
And so...
So you were in the... You were one of the kids that your community served.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And so it makes a lot of connections because when I met the sisters, the joy that I saw in the first sister that I saw was just incredible.
Wow.
It was very, very different joy that I see. And yeah, when I was there with them as a student, I have that in my heart. I have hatred, anger, and revenge and things of that. But when I saw the sisters, when I am with my fellow children, like there is something joy in me that I can't understand. It's just a joyful feeling. Yeah, but I'm not forgetting what I have on there, that deep down I have something.
Yeah.
And so what invites me to experience the life of a religious sister, especially as a Sister of Mary, is the joy that I experience with the sisters. Mm. And so, I wanted to be one of them.
You wanted that joy.
Yes.
That was the joy you had as a little kid.
Yes.
Before your
tragedy. I'm sure it is. Yes. Yeah. And so the story goes on. I become one of the Sisters of Mary, but I realized that I am not understanding the very reason why I am a religious sister. And it just struck me and it comes to my mind and I started to think because there are so many pilgrimages happening in Mexico and many groups of visitors coming to our school and to meet the sisters and the children, and one of them, very, very curiously asked me, "Sister Marilyn, I am very grateful of your vocation. I am very grateful that you are a religious sister. Why are you a religious sister?" And I said, "Oh, because God chose me." That answer was very spontaneous. That is very easy. God chose me. And after that, I started to think, what does it mean that he chose me? So I was having difficulty after that moment, not on that very moment, but after that, I was thinking, what does it mean to me that God chose me to become a religious sister? And so then I had this opportunity to talk and to open up with my spiritual father, Father Dan. And, this is a very, the most blessed part of my life.
Mm.
And then...
Just talking through all this.
And I am very sure that for 20 years, this is my very first time to open again about that experience.
Wow.
When I was 10. And so, he clearly told me, "Sister, why don't you go to Jesus and ask him, where were you?"
Mm.
So, the first reaction I had was, no.
Yeah, I don't want to go there.
I don't want to go.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to that experience. And in that time, I was thinking with pride that without wanting to meet myself, vulnerable on that time.
Oh yeah.
So I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I went in the adoration. It is very clear for me. I am in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of Jesus present in the Holy Eucharist. I was there kneeling and just there. I can remember that I was not asking for anything. I was not asking him, where were you? I was not. I was just there, present to him. And out of the sudden, all this memory come out.
Wow.
It just pops up into my, into my memory. Wow. I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I can see Jesus. And at the same time, I can see my experience when I was 10.
Wow.
And it was very powerful.
So the Lord was giving you trauma therapy just by you sitting there.
I was not expecting that.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's really a very strong experience, but I can see it differently.
Wow.
It's the same experience, really the same.
But you saw God there.
Very the same experience, but it's different.
How? How does Jesus being there change it, change the memory?
Yeah. It's a very, very, I am very blessed of having that experience because I can see myself in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and at the same time, I can see the little girl of me holding the gun.
Wow.
Yes. And that time, I realized that my call to become a religious really starts from that very moment of my hard experience, of my strong experience. It was there that I saw that since then, God was calling me to become a religious sister. It's interesting. And there, wow. I can see myself holding the gun and the other side in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the Holy Eucharist. And I see in this past experience that I was wanting to take life. I wanted to kill. I wanted to kill. And in this experience, I realized that God shows me that His plan for me is to give life.
Wow.
Like, it was totally different. Totally different.
So him rescuing you in that moment from killing was the start of your whole calling.
Yes.
Wow.
He wanted me to give life. He doesn't want me to kill people. He doesn't want me to take life for, maybe if I am not a religious this time, I might be one of the assassin.
Right.
I don't know.
That would not be a good look on you.
Yeah.
You definitely look better in a habit than
thank you.
As an assassin.
Thank you.
I'm tempted to ask all sorts more questions about what that even means, but I mean, Jesus is the answer. He is the way.
Yes.
He's the healer. He is the thing.
He is.
So I think any question would probably come back with, I don't know, Jesus was there and just called me. He's the transformer.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
He showed me in that very moment in front of the Blessed Sacrament, His call for me to be a life giver.
Incredible.
And so I realized that very special moment in my life, that from hatred, anger, and revenge, a little girl of 10 holding the gun, and every time I receive the Holy Eucharist, it's interesting. I receive the Holy Eucharist with the same hand, with the same right hand. It's a grace. It's grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
So the feeling like you were a loser, that lie that stuck in there, the closeness to people, the unforgiveness. Tell me about the journey of those three things going away. Did that happen instantly? Did you right away stop thinking of yourself as a loser and forgive and open up more? I mean, or was this an ongoing thing for years?
Yeah, not really in an instant. It takes time for me to realize and little by little, I can see in my process of healing that little by little, I am chosen by God really to be an instrument of this hatred, anger, revenge, and different kinds of hard and strong negative feelings. And so when I understood each of these feelings, I realized that, it's true. Like day by day, I can see these feelings, I can see these emotions as anger, or this is hatred, or this is revenge.
So you're identifying.
So I'm trying to identify them, like little by little. And there, every time that I receive the grace to identify them, there is always a special grace to be grateful for that emotion or for that feeling, because there is always a greater grace behind that. When I overcome that emotion or that feeling, there is always a greater grace behind that. So it's good.
Wow.
It's good to deal with anger.
Yeah.
It's good to deal with hatred, because in my own experience, there is always a greater grace after you deal with that.
So you're not afraid of the feelings.
God is always there. Jesus
That's
is
awesome.
Always there.
Yeah. So you're not afraid of the feelings, because you're perceiving, as you see this particular mess inside of yourself, instead of saying, oh, there's no hope, you're seeing that as a road to something better.
Yeah.
And you just lean in.
Yes.
Boy, that's a profound word for anybody. For anybody who's needing to deal with stuff on the inside and they're afraid.
Yeah.
Get excited. If you the second you see the stuff on the inside, the Lord is calling you through it.
Yes. Because He is there. He's there waiting.
Ooh.
You have to go get through this, and I'm there. I'm there.
Way to go. I mean, that's how faith transforms everything. I don't know how people do it without Jesus. Well, even if they don't see Him, He's always guiding them through things, right? They don't do it without Jesus.
He's everywhere.
Yeah,
he is everywhere.
He is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now I am very grateful, and I can see gratefulness and blessedness in that experience. And so every time I receive communion for myself, I am always grateful. And every time I give communion to our children, I am always grateful, because this is the same hand. And now this hand is giving life to others. Thousands and thousands of children who have passed and received communion from me, these are the lives that He is the life. Jesus is the life. I'm grateful.
Wow.
I'm a blessing.
You are a blessing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a loser.
Yes,
so
I'm a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That how it is transformed. Like for 20 years that I'm always think that, oh, you're a loser. You can't do that. You can't do that. You're a loser. Now I can say I'm a blessing.
So I love that, and I've preached about this many times, that when you have that lie that you don't even know is there, usually, people are whispering it to themselves under the radar.
Yes.
It's making them feel awful. They don't even know it's there. I'm
very
a loser,
true.
Or I'm broken, or I'm impure, or whatever it is. You identified an opposing word, I'm a blessing, that you lean into and you claim, and you say it. It's right in the tip of your tongue. And you're probably having to say it to yourself. It's ongoing work, right? To say it to yourself again and again.
Yes. Yes.
Have you forgiven the man who killed your dad?
I did.
What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that?
That was the same experience. I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I can really remember very clearly. I was there, and Father was there. Father was there with me. That was like after that, like a month or 2 months after. Yeah, and so I was there in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We were praying, and he was praying over me. And like out of the sudden, he told me, "Sister, can you mention the name of the man who killed your father? Can you mention his name in front of the Blessed Sacrament?"
Wow.
So that was like a very profound experience that I had. And it was like very strong healing that happened to me. Like I just threw out everything. Like it's in a moment, it's just like I freed myself.
Wow.
I can feel the inner peace very differently after that experience. I mentioned the name of the man in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I was remembering that I was saying, "I forgive you in the name of Jesus Christ." Yeah.
Incredible.
Very, very strong.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
That's incredible work. And you can forgive someone even if they've died. I mean, it's not too late.
Yeah.
Because it frees you. Do you want them to be in heaven with you someday?
Yes, of course. Yes. Yeah. And like, if we can see and if we can meet each other in heaven one day, I can tell him, thank you.
Thank you for what?
Thank you. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for, like, his part of this journey that I had, because why I am grateful is that I will not, like, I'm sure I will not know what is God's plan for me without that experience.
Wow.
So I, like, yeah.
Wow. Sister, what, you're there's the obvious gratitude for, gratitude's so powerful. People think it's just about having positive vibes. This is like, no, this is, this is rebuilding what's been burnt to ashes. Mm-hmm. Gratitude.
Yeah, it's not always easy, but there's grace. There's always grace.
What are you grateful for in yourself? What do you love about yourself because of what you went through? How are you? You have superpowers. You're able to be a mom to thousands of girls.
Yeah.
What's the direct line of that tragedy to the blessings in you right now? What are the things you that shine in you because of that?
Yeah. I am very grateful for that experience and learning about my vocation and me, myself, as a religious sister. I am very grateful of all my bad experiences, because from then I understand with my own experience the different experiences that I can meet, especially with the sisters or with the children. And so I can relate to their own experience. My personal experience and their experience, Jesus meet. The same Jesus is there in that experience. And so I am very grateful to this experience of mine, because now I can be an instrument of God to show to other people, to show to other religious sisters or to other lay people or to other boys and girls and whoever they are, to show them that there is grace in every experience. And so for me, I had a very, very difficult times for 20 years. It was a long time. And when I realized that, I was thinking, why I had it there for 20 years? And now that I have that experience, when I see the difficulties of other people, like God is calling me to be an instrument for them so that they will not suffer the 20 years like I had in my own life. And so it's a grace that I can be his instrument to others. And that is what I am very grateful of.
2 Corinthians comes to mind. God comforts us in our afflictions so we can comfort others with the same comfort we received from him.
Yes, really true.
Right? Yes. And he could just comfort them directly, but he wants to share with us the joy of the cross.
Yes.
The joy of being in some mystical way a co-redeemer working with him, not just by our actions, but by our pain. Wow. And I guess, you know, you'd probably say if going through that is what's required to be able to help that kid, bring it.
Yes. Like, he is always there.
So tell me about your work at Chalco.
So this time
tell me the stories of these kids. What do you do? I mean, my friend Judy Dunn introduced me to you guys. I hadn't even heard of your community before then. So pretend the viewer knows absolutely nothing. What's happening? What do the Sisters of Mary do? What's the work in Chalco? You're in different places all around the world.
So yes, we are in 7 countries. Yeah. Sisters of Mary in Korea, Philippines, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Brazil, and in Tanzania. And we are in 18 sites where the Sisters of Mary are. And particularly in Chalco, where I am now, it's 10 years that I'm in the community in Chalco. And I was a mother sister when I arrived in Chalco 10 years ago. So I was taking care of the children really as a mother to the children, direct mother to the children.
I love how you say it's mother, sister. You literally just call yourselves that. That's so cool.
And this time I am in charge of the spiritual center, the spiritual formation, and at the same time formation of the sisters in the community. And so there are so many graces and blessings occurring in this community. And I am very grateful to be a part of this transformation. I am very grateful to be part of this special woman chosen by God to be His instrument of saving souls.
Mm.
That is our main mission.
And you guys particularly choose places that are the poorest of the poor.
Yes. Yeah.
What's the poorest of the poor mean?
There are so many poor in every kind.
Yeah.
So poorest of the poor, not only materially poor, but also there are poverty in many ways, like psychologically, emotionally poor and everything, and spiritually poor. And so there are so many kinds of poverty. And so we invite those children to be in our program looking at those different kinds of poverty. We all need God. And every time we are in need of God, we are poor.
Mm. And it reminds you of your own poverty, doesn't it, to be
yes.
with them?
Yes.
There's something very special. I love encountering you. I love encountering the Missionaries of Charity. There's only a few communities that look for the worst places. I say worst yes. places as an outsider. You're inside of it. You see God is there.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But I've led many pilgrimages to the Holy Land. I love this cool fact that the place Jesus was baptized is the geographically lowest place on the planet. He went to the lowest place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the grace is. You all right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you find them there.
And it's a blessing, especially for me. My personal experience is a blessing to always meet Jesus every day in different ways.
How do you meet him?
I meet Jesus with my sisters.
Yeah.
I meet Jesus with each child that I can see every day, every time, and everywhere.
Tell me some.
Jesus is there.
Tell me some stories of the kids that keep you going, transformed lives. Things the kids have been through, like what you went through, because you're able to be there for them, they come out beautiful. Someone's
yeah.
there with love. Yeah, share some yeah. things that have touched your heart.
One story that I would like to share with some experiences of the children that we have is that, yeah, they, like me, they experience a very strong experience in their very early life, I can say, in their very early life. And so there is one girl who has this, she is from a very broken family. She is living with her mother, like a single mom. She doesn't know who her real or biological father is. And she has four siblings, and when I listen to her story, I can see that there is anger in her.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that there is hatred in her, hatred for his father, because he never knew where is his father. And so with that experience, like every time I listen to the stories of the children, her story and my story are meeting. And so I can relate to their story. And so this girl, she was chosen to be with our program in the school. And she is at first you can see that she has really sadness. She has something deep within her. She has this strong experience, and that seems she is carrying a heavy load within her. She's very young, she's 14. And so, one time she was, we were just like walking, and she started to open up about her experience, her personal experience when she was home and with her father, her mother, and her other siblings. And one time she said, Mother, why is it that I feel that nobody loves me? So that was her word. So that was like a very, very profound word for a 14-year-old girl to say that, why I feel that nobody loves me. And so
the space of safety you guys have created to where she could articulate that.
Yes.
It takes a lot to even get there.
Yeah, it's like for me, it's a profound thing that she is wanting to vomit something out from her. And so I just give her time to speak and to share her story. And yeah, that's when she told me that she never knew her father, and her mother was taking care of her and her other four siblings, and that her mother doesn't care about them. Like, her mother was going out in, she said she's working, but they never knew what work she has. And so with that, every time that her mother, when she was still at home, every time that her mother comes, since she's in charge of taking care of her younger brothers and sisters, every time that her mother gets home, she would always scream at her. She would always see her as, it's your fault. Your younger brother or your younger sister, or why the house is here and everything. Like, the mother just come to home with maybe stress and different problems, and just she can see her as like the reason for every bad thing.
Scapegoat
that is
blames
happening.
It all on her kid.
Yes. So she was always to be blamed. And so she is living that experience in her, that she always has the fault. That was how she is living. And so I try to relate to her little by little, and then she has a very low
self-esteem. Yeah.
Yeah, like she would always say that she is always feeling that's her fault. And still, it's still happening to her. Like, if something goes wrong, she would, even though it's not her fault, she would always have this like feeling that it's her fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so when she told me that question, why is it I feel that I am not loved? Why is it I feel that nobody loves me? And so I started to connect to her story, and I tell her, can you imagine, or do you realize when the first time do you enter in this school, or even the first time you met the sisters, when the sisters go to your place, to your area, and when the sister talk to you, when the sister ask you, why do you want to study in this school, and when the sister ask you, what do you want to be when you're grown up, what did you feel? Or how did you feel during that time? And she told me, I really, even though I was not very sure of what will be my future during that time, I sense, she told me, I sense and I feel that I am important.
Wow.
And so when she told me that, so I can, like, I realized, okay, she has the feeling that she's important. And so I can tell her, yes, you are important. You are important. And instead of your feeling of being unloved, that nobody loves you, this feeling that you have during that moment when you felt that you are important, what is the difference? What is the difference in that feelings? And yeah, she was able to tell me that, yes, there is a difference when she feels that she is important, and that there is lightness in her, there is peace in her. And that time, every time that these words enters in herself, that I am not loved, it's always a heaviness, and it's always that she's nothing. She has no value, I could say. So that's what she was telling. And so from there,
You're teaching these kids to recognize the spiritual battle between our ears.
Yes.
The dark thoughts are from the evil one, and from lies in our lives, and the Lord speaks the truth.
Yes. And I was very surprised when she told me the same experience, that in the Blessed Sacrament, she felt the same feeling that she had when the sister was there doing the interview, and before entering to the school, that she felt that she was important, she felt the same feeling when she was in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Because Jesus is sitting there looking at her.
Yes.
And so you see lives transform this way.
Yes.
Just showing them who they are by loving them.
Jesus works very profoundly.
Yeah. Directly in the Blessed Sacrament, but also through your love.
Yes, and I am very grateful that I can be part of this really transformation, especially to these children.
I love the simplicity of the story you just shared too, because it's accessible. People wonder, can I make a difference? Do I matter? And it's like, yeah. I mean, if you're actually looking someone in the eyes, slowing down and making them feel loved and asking them how their day was.
Yes.
That's actually healing. That's actually next level. That has an exorcistic power to it. The lies of the evil one are flushed out by that. Praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah. Look at that joy. There's the 9-year-old girl.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Purifying through fire, and even better.
Yes.
There's the saint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's awesome.
Now I understand why I was very attracted to that joy of the sister that I saw.
Yeah.
Because there is something in me that it's the real me who wanted to come out, but it's being suppressed by this bad things.
It's good to meet her in all her glory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do people find out more about the work you're doing? Donate to it. I know you guys are running on donations entirely.
Yes.
You're off in the school for free to the poorest of the poor around the world. Can people find out how to visit? Can we visit and help out at these places? Because I do mission work to places like this are transformative for us who get to go. How do we find out?
So you can learn more about our work and be part of this God's work, really, and worldvillages.org.
Worldvillages.org. We'll link to it below this video.
That is our website. And then you can also come and visit us in one of our schools. And so from that website, you can see informations, and then how can you be part of us. You can pray for us. We need your prayers. And at the same time, you can be part of our work financially.
Beautiful. Let's land on this. What would you say to someone who's watching, who's been through traumatic stuff, who's looking inside and just seeing a big mess and feeling like they can never be a blessing?
Well, I am very blessed, and I am really I really believe that this experience, hardships, traumas, or like strong experiences that we had, it's always a window for us to see God. It's always a window that we decide if we want that windows to be open or if we want that windows to be forever closed. And when we open that window, there we see Him. He's there. He's there.
Praise God. thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I mean, it takes a lot to dig into those kinds of memories and to present your heart to people. But we see God in that heart. And I'm just so grateful for you doing that and for the witness of your life. That, I mean, words, I'm a preacher for a living, you know. Words go so far.
Yeah.
But to see it enfleshed in someone like you and proven, and it's all like in your painful witness, just thanks for who you are for the church and for me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And for all those kids.
Thank you for this opportunity.
What a grace. Thank you.
We love you. We love you guys. The Lord loves you no matter what you've been through. He loves you. He's calling you. Especially, not all someone, but especially when you feel that mess inside. Remember the way of the cross, and the other side is the resurrection, and He's calling you too, and He's going to make you a blessing. We believe in you. I love you guys, rooting you on. God bless you.